Hi, Jessica, how are you?
Hi, Gabriella. I'm so good. I'm so happy to be here. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. I'm so excited that you're on today. Can you tell our guests a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. So my name is Jess. I am pretty much fresh out of college. I went to Boston University, but I just moved to Los Angeles actually, and I am a brand and growth marketer here in LA. I've spent the past 4 years working in various different positions for lots of different startups, the consumer tech industries, startups like Bumble, Lolli, also startups like Roomba, which has been super awesome. And right now I am doing some marketing consulting for different startups here in LA, and I also just started my own marketing agency, which has been super awesome. So I'm really just focused on kind of working with a lot of different brands, helping them tell really awesome stories, figure out what they stand for and how they want to convey that to the world. And I live here in LA with my dog Rocky, and he's my best friend in the whole world, and we're just having the best time ever.
Congratulations. I'm so excited to talk to you today. You're amazing, and I can't
Thank
wait to hear
you.
more about what it means to be a lead her to you. So, my first question for you that I love to ask is, what is your why?
Oh, that's such a good question. It's so hard to answer, and I feel like it's always changing. But I think for me, the most important thing is human connection and love. And for me, it's less about, the tangibles in the world and external gain and jobs and money and all of those things on the outside, and more about the time that we spend inside with ourselves and with the people that we love. I think that at the end of the day, all we have is who we love and what we loved and how we loved them. So I think the thing that really drives me behind all of the things that I do is, and it's so cheesy, but it is love and making sure that I'm coming from a place of love in everything that I'm doing, and that I'm helping bring that out in other people and just foster that human connection where we realize that beyond all the things that are on the externals, we are all human, and it's really relaxing, and you feel just like a breath of fresh air, like you can be yourself and the other people can be themselves. And so I spend all of my life and everything I do trying to make other people comfortable enough to feel that way. And whether that's through, working in marketing or doing yoga or having a great conversation with a friend, I think that's kind of where it all comes from for me.
Love that. I totally agree with you. So something that I know a lot of young girls and just women struggle with often is the question of, does it really matter what others think of me? So what is your take on this?
It's really tough to say. And I think, as a woman, the answer is so complex because, on one hand, everyone wants you to say, like, screw what other people think of you. All that matters is what you think about you. But when we live in such a male-dominated world where, men are deciding our fate and how much we get paid and, what our worth is, what they think of us is what determines that. And that's just unfortunately something that I had to learn the really hard way once I graduated and I started working for a lot of different companies. And that was really, really tough. And so I want, I think that at the end of the day, it shouldn't matter what other people think about you. All that matters is how you feel about yourself and investing the time and energy to getting to a place where you feel confident and you feel like your best self, and where you are just overflowing with love and joy and radiance and lust for life. I think that's what's important. But I think we have a lot of work to do on the external world, where unfortunately there are so many things out there, like other people's opinions, that are dictating our success, when it shouldn't be that way. And I think that, we're taking really awesome steps, like elevating women's voices and, bringing power back into women's hands. But I think there's a long way to go.
I totally agree with you. Sometimes I feel like even with like interacting with men, even when it's outside the boardroom or outside the workplace, it still feels like a boardroom because you have to constantly try and impress them with different things and you're just trying to throw yourself out there, but also if you're struggling with how you feel about yourself, you're projecting that out during that time, and it's not a fun place to be for a lot of us. So
yeah,
I totally understand. And I guess moving on to the next question that kind of ties into this, how do you build inner resilience?
It's a lot of work. It's something I work towards every single day, and sometimes I fail at it, and that's okay. It's okay to admit that we're not always super strong, and that sometimes, a lot of times, I cry. Last night, I was crying. The day before
Me
that,
too.
I was also probably crying. I feel everything so intensely, and I could not be more grateful for that, because even though times that are really hard are really, really hard for me, because I feel that pain so immensely, times of joy are also so incredible. And I think that for me, I build resilience through just having a really strong spirituality and belief system. It's something that's much bigger than myself, and believing that there things do happen for a reason, that there's something out there guiding me, and also kind of taking the spotlight off of myself. It really helps me to remove myself from situations and think about, not everything is about me, and that there are other forces at hand, and that it's okay to have other things to live for. For me, a lot of the reason that I keep going is because of my dog Rocky. My Todd, quite literally saved my life. He's my best friend in the whole world. I know I mentioned that a little bit earlier, but I went through some really tough times, and for me, he came to me as an ESA animal, because I was going through therapy, pretty intense therapy, and now he's a service dog, and he would just bring so much joy and life into my world, because I wasn't thinking about me anymore. I would wake up because I had to take him outside, I had to take him on a walk, I had to take care of him. Having him in my life, and having such an awesome family and an awesome boyfriend, gives me a lot to look forward to and a lot to keep going for, and thinking about making sure that they're all happy is what helps me keep going. And then as a result, by investing in the things that are important to me, it helps me invest in myself as well, and before I know it, I'm feeling a little bit better. But it's tough to believe in yourself, but it's absolutely necessary, and to bet on yourself and to be there for you and make commitments and show up for yourself no matter what. If you say something, keep your word, honor yourself, stand by everything you say and you do, and then also be there for others. I think that's been a really great combination for me.
First of all, that warmed my heart. I'm so happy for you. And I totally agree with you on that, because I think for me, showing up for myself and building that inner resilience is reminding myself every morning when I wake up and I'm having that cup of coffee, I close my eyes and I think, okay, this is the life I'm making for myself, and I imagine it, Harvard Law School, that's one of my biggest goals, and thinking about if I give up now, I won't be able to say, I graduated and did all of this and accomplished so much. So just that morning, that morning meditation, that journaling, and getting that done and reminding myself why I woke up that morning and what I'm working for. And just every day that I go in and do whatever type of work I'm doing, even if it's just filing papers in an office, just reminding myself what I'm working towards and to not give up. I think that's one of the most important things.
Oh, I love that so much. I'm so happy for you. And you're absolutely a Harvard Law School. Here you come. They're not even ready for you. You're going to take her by storm. I'm so excited. Thank you.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying, you're welcome.
Thank you so much. So, actually right now I'm in my dorm and I'm looking at the books I have next to me, and I have the Harvard Business Review Definitive Management Ideas of the Year. And one of the questions, or one of the topics that they discussed, was feedback in the workplace. So how do you like to receive feedback in the workplace?
It depends. I love honesty, but like I mentioned, I'm a little bit of a crybaby. So I take things really personally and I cry a lot. And there have been times where I'm working with people, or I'm on a call, or I'm in a meeting or something with someone I'm working really close with, and they give me constructive feedback, and I just take it to heart and I start crying. And it's really tough. Confrontation is really, really hard for me. And I think that also comes from, you know, being a minority woman. It's really tough to like have a voice and like be wrong. Like, I feel like it's, as like a girl, like if you're wrong about something, it's like, it feels like the end of the world sometimes. And so I'm getting better at taking feedback, but the most important thing is just being like human first. And I think so many times it's like so easy to get caught up in like the thing that happened. Like, for instance, like if I slipped up at work, I did something wrong, I feel like if the other person is just so fixated on the thing that happened, you kind of miss each other, and you're just focused on like putting all that blame on that person for that thing, when like I think the two should be separate. So what I love to do is like before like confrontation or before receiving feedback or getting feedback, I like to take time to meditate and really think about like my words and reflect on them for a while. And I hope that the other people do the same, to make sure that there's enough time and space to remove the two from each other, what happened and who did it, and then come together as people and just talk about it like humans. Like, I think there's no reason to go into it with these roles of the person like you did it wrong, like, and kind of the person who's like being like the accuser, the person who did it right or knew better or something like that. I think when we get into roles, it's like so tricky sometimes. And so if we just remove all of that and we just talk like people, talk like friends, you know, because I think you should be friends with the people you work with, and I think that's really healthy for feedback and for conflict resolution.
Yeah, definitely. I actually had a similar situation the other day where I started crying because I was in a discussion with a male colleague and we were talking about some issues, and he asked me a question and asked for my opinion, and I gave my opinion to him, and I had a well-structured argument, or so I thought I did. And the minute I stopped talking, he was like, well, that's a stupid argument. And I really took it to heart, and I came back to my dorm room and I just started researching like crazy. And I was like, why is my argument stupid? And I realized that he thought my argument was stupid, but it really wasn't, because it was backed up by research and facts. But because I'm a woman, I felt the need to prove more that I knew more. And I don't think that he was in that same position, because he kept saying so much about everything that he knew, and I'm so good at this and I'm so good at that. But when I was doing that, it came off as arrogant.
Yeah. So that's so tricky. It's such like a fine line to walk. And it's really, I mean, I don't want to like force my opinions out there or anything, but I think it's really unfair, you know, that like there are these standards. And I agree, like sometimes it almost like it feels arrogant, or it feels wrong to like believe in yourself, or like actually be like, hey, I know what I'm talking about, I did all this research, like what I'm saying is like very valid and very true. And I think, I mean, it clearly, you had a very strong argument, and I'm sorry that happened to you. And it's just such a shame that that's something that so many people feel that we don't really, really talk about.
Yeah, definitely. And I know how it also feels to be a minority woman, because my family is from the Middle East, and they're also Armenian, so it's kind of a double whammy there. And when I talk about issues regarding the Middle East, I have a lot of male and especially, you know, predominantly white colleagues who are correcting me and saying, no, well, that's not how it is. And I tell them, you don't know what it's like on the ground. Your family hasn't been there. When you speak, it comes from a place of privilege, because you don't know what it's like to have your country completely raided by other people, other forces, to not be able to go to school. And I have the immense privilege, obviously, I live in America, to be able to go to school and to be able to talk about issues that I'm passionate about, but other women don't. And so when I do talk about things, it's obviously, it comes from a place of privilege, and I'm honored to be able to do that. So, you know, we'd respect and we appreciate if our opinion was respected, you know?
Yeah, 100%. I feel the same way too. I mean, for me, I was adopted. So I was adopted when I was 10 months old from China. I have a white family who I love, and I grew up with a lot of white friends and white influence. And that, you know, was really tough, you know, trying to figure out my culture and also like trying to have opinions on like Asian things. And like I would try to say things like about like being Asian or like just Asian culture and heritage, and people would tell me that I don't know what I'm talking about because I'm basically white, or because my family's white, so I'm not really Asian. And I totally resonate with being like, well, I mean, it's our culture, it's our heritage, like we know, you know, like to an extent I feel like I know, even though I'm not actually like living in China, or I don't have, you know, any connection to my birth parents, it's still like a part of me. And that's something that we should all respect, is each other's cultures and backgrounds, and know that some people do have like more knowledge of other things. Yeah. Or, and that their opinions are valid.
I'm actually adopted as well. That's really interesting.
No way.
Yeah. So I was born in Armenia, and I never had a chance to meet my birth mom, but I just know if, you know, I was able to meet her one day, that whatever I do now, I feel like part of me kind of owes it to her to make her proud, because she did, you know, want me to have a better life. And that's what a lot of moms, especially in countries where having a girl or having a child in general and you can't take care of them, they want their children to have a better life, and sometimes those kids don't have the chance. So the fact that I do have that chance was really just amazing.
I'm so happy for you.
Thank you. So
how do you think, I know this is about, I guess this is supposed to be about me, how has that impacted you?
You know, I think when I was younger, it never really hit me that someone kind of just gave me up for me to have a better life. And I always thought, oh, I'm not loved because someone didn't want me. But then now that I'm older, I see that I am loved because she wanted me to have a better life. And I think that actually is one of the biggest reasons why I like to work so hard too, because I do love my parents and I know that I want to make them proud, but part of me really wants to make her proud too, because she's the reason that I am here today.
That's so beautiful.
Thank you.
Do you think you would ever get the chance to contact her, find her? Is that something you've thought about?
I have thought about it, and I would love to. Definitely looking into it. Have you thought about it at all?
I have thought about it, and I've tried. When I was in high school, I went through this huge identity crisis. Is it okay if I talk about this? I know it's like off topic.
Of course, of course.
Okay. When I was in high school, I really started to kind of understand what being adopted meant. And I also went through that same thing where, you know, I felt like very unwanted, very unworthy, like just like I didn't really deserve anything good, and that I was bad because my birth parents didn't want me, like I wasn't even good enough for them, so how would I be good enough for anybody? And that was really, really tough, and that's something that I still struggle with to this day. I went to therapy for a really long time, and I even, you know, when I was in high school, I started to want to search for my birth mom. So I would, you know, at night, I would go through all the files, my parents' filing cabinets, just looking for like a name, looking for like any information that could give me just a lead or a clue as to where I came from and who I came from. And unfortunately, I didn't find anything. And for me, that was just so devastating and heartbreaking. And it's actually what I wrote my like college essay about, this whole idea of, you know, wanting to find something so bad, wanting answers and not getting them, and what it means to kind of sit with the fact that we're not going to get answers to everything, and some things we'll never understand and it'll never make sense. And that was really, really tough, but I think it shaped me. And you know, now I'm starting to learn more about what it means to be an Asian woman. And I went to this Buddhist temple last week, and my boyfriend and I last night celebrated our anniversary, and we like had a big sushi night, and like we went to like this like Asian grocery store, and I felt really like at peace and at home. It's just been really great. And I think, you know, one thing was just realizing that it's not that like kind of you had said, like our birth moms like wanted so much for us, enough for us to like be here with other parents. And I, you know, instead of like resenting my adoptive parents or like resenting my birth mom. I realized I have so many like strong women before me, so many strong women inside of me in a way, and that like my birth mom and like my birth family, like all of those, that whole lineage of women, those are women that are inside of me, and they're always going to be with me even if we can't meet or be together. And knowing that there are so many strong women in my life who like I can build my power and resilience through has been something that has really helped me move forward.
That's beautiful, and I 100% agree with you. I had a chance to go back to Armenia a couple years ago and found out that at the time I wasn't 18 yet, and that I wasn't allowed to reach out to my birth mom because over there it's a crime if you reach out before you're 18. And was told that even if you do reach out, they may not want to see you. And that was really heartbreaking because it's, you know, you're their child, you know, you can't change that. But I made my peace with it. And, you know, I love that you normalized therapy because I go to therapy and I think it's one of the most beautiful things. And it's such a gift, especially if you're fortunate enough to be able to go to therapy. A lot of people can't.
Yeah.
And just going, I think, is an art in itself, to be able to feel those emotions and connect with yourself and know that you're so much more than what you're going through.
Yeah, 100%. It's such a privilege to be able to actually think about the things that we're feeling and the way things have shaped us, you know, impact us every day. It's something that I think a lot of people take for granted, and that's why, you know, mental health care is so important to me. It's one of the most important things, and that's what, people are the most important thing to me as well. And I think that having this luxury of choice in the aspect of where we can choose to work on ourselves and we can choose to investigate ourselves and really like overcome a lot of hurdles and obstacles that take a lot of hard work. Like being adopted is hard work, like, and coming to terms with that and like growing through it and understanding it, hard work, but a lot of people just don't really acknowledge. And so the fact that we get to kind of explore that is, we're really lucky.
Definitely. So my last question for you before we wrap up is, since it is almost back to school season for a lot of us, what is the best advice you've learned and or received?
I think as a young college student, it's so important to live by your own rules. It's so easy to get influenced by other people or clubs or organizations and, you know, the ways that they want you to be, or and kind of fitting into all of these molds. But, you know, ultimately, like, this is your time of freedom and self-discovery where you get to start writing your own rules and living by them. Mm-hmm. Take that and like really, really run with it. Like, start thinking and reflecting inwards about how things make you feel and the things that you want to do and the things that you care about, and invest in those. And it doesn't matter if that's, you know, the conventional ways of what college should look like or something entirely different. You have to really find what feels good to you, what matters to you, and build that life, because it's your life at the end of the day, and no one else should tell you how to live it. And you're only going to find, you know, peace and happiness and just radiant joy by living life on your own accord. So do that, but have so much fun. Like, it's, college is the best experience in life. And while I was going through it, I thought, I was like, oh, I can't wait to graduate, like, I hate college, blah blah blah. But like, now that I'm out of college and like I'm watching everybody go back to school and like all of their friends are moving in, it's such like an incredible thing. Just enjoy every second of it.
100% agree with you. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me. You're absolutely inspiring and amazing, and I'm so glad I had the chance to talk to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I had such an amazing time, such a pleasure, and I'm so happy that we got to do this.
Thank you. It was so great talking to you. I'll definitely talk to you again soon.
Yeah, sounds amazing. Can't